So we turn in our Bibles to Romans and chapter 12. And if we're there, Romans chapter 12, reading verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. So over this last few weeks leading our way to Easter, we've been reflecting on the theme of discipleship, what it means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We thought about the habit of obedience. We thought about the habit of prayer. We thought about the habit of Bible study. Today, I'm going to take you back to a time when I was young. You may not remember that, but I was young once. And Manchester, a concert I went to, rock band U2. You're familiar with the rock band U2? Some of you will be. And it was their tour they call the Elevation Tour. And I went to Manchester, 1991. And I was a big fan of U2. I'd first seen them in 1981 when they weren't so well known. But at this point, they were perhaps at the height of their fame. Millions were buying their records and coming to see them. And in this particular concert, I think there was probably about 20 or 25,000 people packing the arena. There was a particular moment as the band quietens and the crowd quietens after one song. The guitar chords noted the beginning of the next song. The crowd recognized what was about to be played. And it was one of those songs that had become so central to the fans' enjoyment of the bands. It was one of those songs where you two would say, we don't know what happens, but when we play this particular song, it is as if God himself rests upon us and upon our audience. It was one of those extraordinary moments. And the chords played out the opening of the song, and the crowd cheered, roared. And I, like anybody else, was surprised, amazed. And yet I heard the lead singer speak out words that I recognized, that weren't from the song that was about to come, but there were words from the song, Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. It may be that most people in the crowd didn't know what was happening, but here was somebody at the height of his fame, having a moment with God, saying in front of all these people, this is my declaration. You've been good to me. What will I do? I will worship you. And everything I offer right now is an offering of worship to the God whom I know has been good to me. And worship is our response to God's goodness. However we experience God's goodness, whenever we experience it, in whatever form we experience it, worship is our response to God's goodness. And that gratitude is expressed in daily obedience. Because worship is not simply us gathering to sing or to play instruments, and yet we often focus, I think, in that way, and we say we're gathering to worship, we're gathering to sing and to play. Worship is much bigger than that. It is our response to what God has done in our lives, and it is gratitude expressed in daily obedience. Now, I mentioned a few moments ago that this series of reflections on discipleship, we're looking at the habits of the disciple. The disciple is somebody who takes seriously what it means to worship and to serve. The disciple of Jesus is somebody who follows Jesus closely. You may remember the very first week as I introduced this topic, I spoke of that ancient blessing that was given to those who followed somebody else. May you get dusty. May you get dusty. And what they were saying was simply, may you follow so closely to Jesus. May the sand that and the dust that is kicked up by his feet, may it land on you. May you have that blessing of being so close to Jesus. And a disciple pays attention to what Jesus is doing. A disciple listens carefully to what Jesus is saying. And a disciple says, I want to be like Jesus. A disciple says, what is that habit of worship that I can embrace in my lifestyle that will encourage and help me to become more like Jesus? The wonderful thing about disciples is that disciples are eccentric. Any of you eccentric? Yep. The true meaning of eccentric simply means that you're not at the center. Somebody else or something else is at the center. And disciples are eccentric, deliberately so. Disciples have made the decision to be eccentric. Now, I recognize, you know, as we look at each other, we might think, yeah, you're talking. You know, you bet some of us are a little bit eccentric. But literally, disciples are eccentric because they have determined, well, my habit of worship, my habit of following after Jesus and having a habit of worship and service, such that I become more like Jesus, means that I place Jesus at the center of everything that I am and all that I do. And in that way, I am off center because he is at the center. And so for a disciple, worship is life. Life offered in service, aligned with Jesus. Worship is not simply the singing and playing. Worship is anything and everything that we are and we do that is offered to God in service. Yeah? Worship is anything and everything that we are and we do that is offered to God in service. Now you'll note, I put on the screen, dot, 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 aligned with Jesus. And that's important, aligned with Jesus. Because we could do all sorts of things and offer them in worship. And God say, now hang on, That is not the right way to live. That is not worship that's acceptable to me. That's not worship approved by me. And that's why we have to say worship is anything and everything that we do and we are that is offered in service that is aligned with Jesus. And for a disciple who's following closely after Jesus, paying attention to everything Jesus does, listening carefully to everything Jesus says, the disciple is trying hard, making that effort to make sure that everything I am and all that I offer is aligned with Jesus. It's the kind of thing that Jesus would have done, the kind of thing that Jesus would have said. It's the kind of person Jesus would be. Now, if we look at the words of Jesus himself asking that question, well, what does it mean? If we take seriously the words of Jesus, what does it mean to have a habit of worship, offering what we are, who we are, and what we do to God in worship? We remember the key command of obedience from Jesus is make sure you're loving God. Make sure in everything that you are and everything you do, you're loving God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. But also make sure you're loving your neighbor. And you say, well, who is my neighbor? For us in our daily lives, our neighbor is whoever is in front of us. Whoever we encounter, make sure that you're loving them. But our neighbor can also be the people who are far off from us. Next week, next Sunday, we'll be hearing about Mary's meals. When we hear about the children who aren't able to be educated because their parents don't have enough money to feed them and send them to school, so the children sometimes have to work instead, that child and that family, they become our neighbor. And we must love them and do what we can to help. And then we are told to love ourselves. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to look after ourselves and take care of ourselves and not neglect ourselves. And so, if we think about worship as anything and everything that we are and we do, offered in service, aligned with Jesus, then we think, okay, love God, heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbor, whoever that may be, and love ourselves. And that is received as worship, as our offering. And the disciple pays attention and says, that's who I want to be a worshiping disciple. When we read the prophets in the Old Testament, and if we ask the question, what do they say about worship? I find it, there's a wry smile when I read the prophets of the Old Testament asking that question about worship. When we turn to Isaiah, he says to the people, God is not receiving your worship. What you are offering as worship is not acceptable to him. Because you're singing all your songs, you're playing all your instruments, and you're bringing all your sacrifices to God. But you are ignoring what you should be doing, aligned, we would say, with Jesus. And so Isaiah says, this is your worship. Do good every day. Seek justice wherever you can. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead the case of the widow. That is your worship, Isaiah says. You'll be familiar with the words from Amos, the appeal from Amos. Let justice flow like mighty rivers. Like, let righteousness, like a never-ending stream. Never mind your sacrifices, but live a life that is aligned with the goodness and the justice of God. Similarly with Micah, when the people are asking, well, what shall I offer to the Lord? What does worship look like? And Micah says, God's already told you. He has showed you, O man, what you should do. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. This is the worship. This is the life offered in service that is aligned with Jesus, that is pleasing to him. And then Hosea responds to a people who perhaps are taking their responsibility of worship a little too easily. And they say, do you know what? We've messed up again. We've got it wrong. But we'll go and we'll go through the motions. We'll offer our sacrifices and God will forgive us and it'll all be okay again. And Hosea says, this is the word of God. I hate your sacrifices. I close my ears to music. What I want for worship is steadfast love and knowledge or relationship with God. That is what I desire. This is your worship. And it's the reminder to the disciple that it is a life offered to God that is pleasing to him. The Apostle Paul, in the reading that we read, encourages the believers, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, this is your logical act of worship. In the translation I read, this is your true and proper worship. And the word that's there in the Greek is often translated in a whole raft of different ways. But this makes sense worship. What is the worship that makes sense for a disciple, Paul is saying? He's saying, offer your bodies, your lives, your actions, who you are, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not neglect to do good. Seek justice wherever you can. Be kind and merciful. Be compassionate if you can. For a disciple, worship, having that attitude and a lifestyle of worship, reshapes our lives. Having Jesus at the center and being eccentric as disciples, it reshapes our attitudes to money. Because we've got money and suddenly we say, well, how do I use my money in a way that's pleasing to God? What would Jesus do with this money? And I've got time on my hands. Should I sit and twiddle my thumbs? What would Jesus do with this time? My ambitions, who I long to be. Sometimes our ambitions are about us being our very best. Sometimes our ambitions are about achieving a certain standard so that we'll be noticed. Sometimes our ambitions are about our pride. Worship, having Jesus at the center, reshapes how we think about our ambitions and who we want to be and what we want to do. Worship reshapes our relationships. Worship reshapes our politics. We could get lost down a rabbit hole here, talking about politics. And often we get lost in party politics. But worship reshapes politics, the way we think about how we can live together, which is what politics is really about. It's about how we can all live together well, in a way such that everybody has all that they need, that everyone is honoured, that all are respected, that everyone can flourish and be their best. Worship reshapes our politics. And I think as disciples, we often need to hold lightly to party politics. We need to be careful about who we support. Because as soon as we get into party politics, we may find ourselves defending lies and half-truths and injustices, defending the goal instead of the way we get to the goal. Worship reshapes all of these things, and it reshapes our commitments. Worship is so much more than our singing and our playing. Worship is our life, lived to the glory of God. A final note. We often pray the Lord's Prayer. How does it go? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And then what does it say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that to some degree, worship is our response to this prayer. We pray, your kingdom come. Now, it may be that we stand back and say, okay, Lord, your kingdom come. I'm just going to wait here until your kingdom comes. Is that okay? I'll wait. A disciple who is eccentric with Jesus at the center wants daily to offer their lives in service to God, seeking opportunities to do so. A disciple praying the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come. I wonder what I can do. I wonder what I can do that the kingdom of God might come right now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I love? Can I be good? Can I be kind? Can I be merciful? Can I help? Can I bless? Can I serve? And in these little ways, the kingdom of God is coming right here and right now. Worship is a call to whole life service. Service that causes us to flourish, causes us to be the best that we can be, placing Jesus at the center. Some of us will do what others regard as great things. Some of us will do what we may regard as just little bits along the way. Whatever we do, and whoever we are, we have the opportunity as disciples of Jesus to offer all of it in worship as an offering to our Heavenly Father. I'm going to pause there and let's pray together. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance and joy and delight the race that is marked out for us. May we be inspired by those who've come before us, encouraged by those who are with us. May we be a blessing to those who come after us. And may our whole lives be an offering of worship, acceptable and pleasing to God. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.